That's right. That's right. Well, we're so glad you're here tonight, each one. Thanks for coming. I was thinking earlier today, like, why couldn't I be a sound booth man instead of preaching? I was called to be a preacher. Because I opened up the door of that little sound booth, and it's so warm back in that little box. I thought, man, that's where it's at. That's cold-blooded people like me. Wouldn't that be good? Then I walked up here tonight. I thought, you know, to be in the choir loft or the crier loft, you know, where you go higher, you know, why couldn't I be in the choir and be warm up there? And it finally dawned on me. I'm getting old. I am up here. I'm the pastor. So where the hot air rises, it is warm up here. So it's really nice. You know, I found out this afternoon that Charlie Wynn is not a Seahawks fan. Yeah, he's a Chiefs fan. And we had a good time. And Rick graciously picked up the tab. Since his birthday. Got this from the Neils. Happy 65th. I thought, man, do they make birthday cards for 65 years? It kind of sounds like a landmark or something there, doesn't it? But anyway, it talks about a happy 65th birthday. Hope your year brings you joy, love, and much happiness. You have so much around you to be proud of. And I thought, yes, I do. And that's the people that we know and people that we enjoy. So, yeah, that's true. Blessed that way. Blessed with you. And those of you here this morning were blessed also by the music of Rachel. And not only did you enjoy the quality of the music, but, you know, that flow from her heart to uplift God's amazing grace. And she's been through a lot. So I remember when I went to see a doctor, and I'm used to the doctor saying, man, good health, good health, good health, good health. You know, didn't have to check all them boxes, just doing good. And then one day a doctor says, oh, it's not looking good. We got to have you walk the treadmill and all that. I thought, what are you talking about? You know, it's always been good. This young doctor, no, he was looking at those little marks for the heart, and he was right. I needed a stent. I had that stent put in. So about 10 years ago, I had a stent put in. I don't remember as much about that as I remember the fact of those who came to encourage me. And I'm the kind of guy, you know, actually for my birthday, you know, I always forget it's my birthday until it's, you know, then a few days away or so, and Irene says, got a special day coming up. I go, oh, yeah, you know, it's not that important. And to go to the hospital, I didn't feel like it's not that important. People don't have to come. But when they do come and you look back, you find, like, you know, that was really special. And Jim is so modest, and so he doesn't say a lot about his situations. But, you know, we could show up this week. I think it's getting to be a big enough, you know, examination just to support him if you're able, or especially some of you gals, if you can be there sometime for Rachel, that might mean a lot to her. And I have to say this too, it's good to have Barbara back. Missed you, Barbara. Turn your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 17. Want to think tonight about a thankful heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We have so much to be thankful for, and we are dependent because you are dependable. We're thankful because you're the giver and we're the receiver. Lord, we also want to give back to you because you are worthy. Give you our thanks, give you our praise, our worship, our time and devotion. And Lord, we thank you for others who come and join us as we fellowship together to join us in this effort. As we worship, we know our audience is really the throne in heaven. We're looking to you. Guide us in this tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 17, verse 11, came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, speaking of Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. So here you have 10 men, lepers, standing at a distance, always at a distance. This disease could infect others, they believed. So they're quarantined and isolated off into leper colonies alone. At a distance, they yell to Jesus. Verse 13, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So, you know, it seems like a strange command in a way, go show yourself to the priests, but it really isn't at all, because if somebody's recovered, it's the priests that would verify the purification ceremony that this man could once again circulate out in society. So Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests, and isn't it interesting, they're not healed immediately. But in God's timing, they're healed as they are going and as they are obeying. And then something happens. So you find it here, it's 10, it's remarkable, but only one comes back to thank him. And it's inconceivable to be cured of something as horrible as the disease of leprosy, to be unclean, isolated from others, cut off from family, with a death sentence on you, couldn't go to the synagogue or anything else like that, any social events. Now you're totally cleansed. How much time would it take? But only one comes back and falls at the feet of Jesus and gives him thanks, who happened to be a Samaritan. Now, don't you love it here? Here's a Samaritan where there's this love-hate relationship. It's all hate between the Jews and the Samaritans. Jews are Jews. Samaritans are half-Jews. And so they had intermarried with the Gentiles, which is despicable in the ancient world. Verse 17, Jesus answering, were there not 10 cleansed, and where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so 10 were healed, but only one was saved. It implies the other 9 were Jews. You know, in the New Testament church, they had the gift of tongues with the expansion of the gospel. It's a sign, the scriptures tell us, but it's a sign to who? If there's tongues, who's present? It's a sign to the Jew. It happens where the Jews are. And so that's what he tells us in Corinthians. So it's to the Jews to help their faith, to see that miracle. But here's the miracle right in front of the eyes of the Jews. It's not the Jews that come to thank Jesus, amazingly. It's the Samaritan instead. It just goes to show there can be miracles. That does not mean people will be saved. They knew the miracle, they themselves been healed. They had every reason to give thanks. We could possibly find Noah's Ark up on the mountain. They found chariot wheels at the bottom of the sea from Pharaoh's army. And evidence of that. That does not mean just because there's been miracles, just because there's great proof of the Bible, scholars and the people of the world will respond in faith. It's tragic here, the other 9 don't come. And what's that illustrate except the ingratitude of the human heart as people so quickly forget who has healed us. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, it tells us in verse 21, you know, God indicts the whole human race, the people of the nations, because it says here, even though they knew God. They knew God, they knew about God, but they did not glorify God. I think it was a foreigner that responded on the internet, I'm not religious, I think God not exist, my life is wonderful, I don't need anything. I responded, the bad side of the next life would be harder to experience than the pain and anything of this life. And there it is forever. Wise would be to honestly ask God to reveal himself to your awareness and to see how he reveals himself in the Bible, because, friend, if you are wrong, then it is forever. You know, everybody, when we're born with a sense of the knowledge of God, not to know him personally through Jesus and the cross, not to know him intimately, not to be saved, but we know God through creation. We know God as the moral judge through his laws. God has given us a conscience in our hearts that activates a knowledge of God if we respond to that. The educational system works on young people to, you know, rule that out, challenge them, distort it all. But God, through his moral law, has got, you know, we find here in Romans, what's the problem? The people did not honor him. They do not say, look at this creation, look up to heaven, say, there's got to be a God. Thank you, God. They don't give thanks. And so, as you look at the list of, you know, what God has to say in Romans chapter 1, the damning sins, at the top of the list is ingratitude. No thanks to God. Won't even recognize God. Well, we can understand the sense. Here's these nine lepers that, you know, they don't have faith. They don't respond to God. But try to understand Christians been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when there's ingratitude in our hearts. That's even harder to understand. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Actually, verse 16 through 18. Three commands here. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so rejoice and pray and thank God. I wrote to our adopted daughter, Hannah, in Bible college, granddaughter. She's in the choir, chorale. For chorale ministries, vocalists concentrate and they sing and they do their best. Particularly encouraging is when it has clearly gone from their words, their consciousness, the heart, and on to the face. Maybe eye contact or some small bodily expression. And here the animated people, in a positive way, move the drama even further as it flows from their hearts into expression. She's got all that, so I said, you've got a quick grasp for content and quality, which seems to free you from over-concentrating on that. So enjoying the Lord's music, seeking an opportunity to serve God and edify others, then your expressive smile adds more, as to say it is real in your life. I love singing in congregations like yours, where at times I have to stop because in a quiet way, the Holy Spirit moves through the spiritual people. It has touched me, and so I choke up on a phrase or a stanza and just listen. It happens here as we sing sometimes. In Utah, we often heard the professionalism of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. They met their notes. But an Easter morning, to change the channel to a Christian ministry, we would sigh and smile and wonder, saying, the joy of these hearts has reached their words. The Spirit of the living God is alive within them. I mean, it's written all over them. But what a difference. Sometimes I wonder about the admonitions to smile and sing. That feels slightly awkward. But we know what they mean. And putting your heart into it, well, then it shows in some happy way and right on the face. He's alive. Hey, Grandpa Chuck, you know, to Hannah there. He's alive. And rejoice, Paul says. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in him. It's the clear will of God. He desires this from our hearts. Rejoicing in our prayers and our thanksgiving to God. Dennis and Barbara Rainey wrote about pebbles in my shoes and applying it to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. They say that, do you ever feel as though little circumstances of your life overwhelm you? We get worn down less by the mountains we climb than by the grain of sand in our shoes. So what about the pebbles in my sneakers? And they, out of their list, includes people who try to make me feel guilty. or another pebble in my sneaker, an unbalanced checkbook, incessant ringing of the telephone. Sometimes you just got to click that because it's just rung too much, driving you crazy. Drippy faucet, smoking fireplace, leaky pipe, car problems, whining child. The little things that get to us. What they write about is God involved in details of my life, and is God trying to teach me something through that flat tire as he invades my life, you know. And so to give thanks in everything, as admonished here, they suggest, why not bow in prayer right now and just give thanks for everything in your life? And they want to know what little frustrations bother you. What are the nagging pebbles, the things that just really tick you off? As they suggest here, as we walk with God, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, there's just four simple words. In everything, give thanks. That's the will of God, Christ Jesus, concerning you. And so, you know, in amazement, as we apply that, and everything give thanks, that's the mode of the day, our attitudes begin to change. And amazing things happen. Now, there's three reasons they suggest here to give thanks. One, it expresses faith in the one, you know, the one who saved us, the one who guides us, the one. We can trust him for eternity. We can trust him for this day in our lives. We can trust him. And so in giving him thanks, and he wants us to have faith in him. What's going on today? Let's have faith in him. Secondly, it's the fact that we wouldn't do it naturally. It's just not the human nature response that we usually have, you know. But we tend to grumble and gripe. But not if we're walking by faith, not if we're the spiritual person, not if we're responding biblically. We lay that griping aside because we see what God is at work, even in the grains in my shoes, see. Even in the small things, the difficulties in my life. Charlie knows that. So there's things we can't control. We'd rather gripe sometimes and, you know, rather doubt, and give thanks. And then finally they say, God wants to teach us how to deal with the irritating grains of sand in our shoes. Why is that? Well, so you can get on with climbing mountains, right? So, you know, we can grow in our faith. We see the pebbles have a purpose. We see the mountain before us. The pebbles are real in our lives. They irritate us. But God has them there to instruct us, to help us to mature in the Lord. So let's tell God that we want to submit to him and learn from the problems. Ask God to help us learn through the pebbles in our shoes. Back in the Old Testament, it's a Levitical system, and they had the sin offering. What's that? Over and over and over, they offered the sin offering and on the Day of Atonement, but then throughout the year. And so the priests had blood up to their elbows as people kept bringing in sacrifices and more they could never take away sin. It's only God's plan to cover their sin. Reminders of your sinfulness. That's why you've got this offering. You need to be reminded of your sinfulness. That's real. The requirement of death, our desperate need of forgiveness and, you know, atonement and cleansing from the Lord. We need this to be righteous before God. When we come to the Lord's table, we got the same thing, a reminder of our sinfulness. It happens often. We do it regularly. And we also have the thank offering there because we can thank Christ for dying for our sins. Our sins are cleansed. Our sins are washed away. Thank God for the death on the cross. So in everything give thanks, no matter, you know, what the situation, no matter what the difficulty. We don't like say, thank God I've got this. You know, I always love troubles. But we just thank God in the midst of the trial. Find reason to thank the Lord. And he's saying here, thanklessness is a sin, especially prevalent in those who do not know God. Should not be part of my life, thanklessness. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves. They're going to be lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. Just a state of the age in the last times. And what Paul is doing here is exposing the ingratitude of evil men The closer we get to the coming of Christ, there's going to be more of this ungratitude, ungratefulness, the more wicked and thankless people get. The unsaved people complaining, and you know, they think, you know, it's, I just get ahead, it's by manipulation, or it's by luck, or you know, it's just the fatalism of life about the way things work out, or maybe it's to credit my own sheer genius. I'm just such an overachiever. I've got so much coming my way. It's all about me and my amazing skills. They thank themselves instead of thanking God. And the pride of our hearts can lead us to do some of that same thing if we aren't careful. So in everything, give thanks. Believers, that God is at work in our lives. He's got a divine plan. Whatever happens is for our good. For our good. Ultimately, it's to help us grow, become more like Jesus. God is building something strong, good into our lives, and it's for His glory. Denise Toney has had so many treatments, different kinds of chemo, and things for her cancer. And this has gone on for a long time. But she is just a geyser of praise. And people keep reading her posts. How does she do it? And they're talking about it all the time. Look at her heart. Look at her heart. How in the world? I wrote to her, the clearest thing about prayer is that we do not always get a yes from God. There is wait, or often no. Looking back on life, we grow more thankful for the no's than to spin around and to view life from heaven. We'll surely agree that God was right. His will was good. Wisdom looks to the glory of God. Maturity abides in His grace. His grace is sufficient for thee. One of the most treasured words in life is hope, which makes us eager for tomorrow. Through experience, Denise, your hopes have been adapted like 100 times. But in your primary goal to exalt Jesus Christ, your hope is satisfaction in knowing the Lord is powerful in using your life. That's the geyser of life. I wasn't preaching to her. I was just recognizing what's real in her, such hope. As Christians, you know, we can sin through ingratitude. Paul's saying, you know, you can eat anything, as far as, you know, the pork and all that, as long as you do it thanksgiving. Everything with thanksgiving. And so that's God's will for us. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says God is able. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that in always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And verse 11, I like what it says here, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. And so, you know, sometimes through the hardships of life, we learn to look to God and thank God. Sometimes just through the abundance of the things that we receive from God, we learn to thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, He's so good to us. God is able. In British Columbia, it seemed like I had reservoirs of adrenaline, which I didn't understand. I could study deep, deep into the night and go out and witness to people on the streets the next day. And where did all that come from? Oh, adrenaline can be our friends at times, you know, to meet the demands of our lives, and surges into us. You've had that, I've had that. You're able to do more things than you thought possible. Being asked to do it earlier, you'd say, man, I don't think so. You say it down in your heart, I don't think so. I can't do that. But when the adrenaline comes, it seems easy. And here's the grace, Paul says. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. So that's like the spiritual adrenaline of God. People do amazing things through adrenaline. There was a victim under a car. My dad lifted up the car so he could get out of there. It's an adrenaline rush that empowered him at that moment. On visitation last night, I was surprised at myself as I walked all the way up 14th Street Hill. I was thinking, man, I got to stop 2, 3, 4 times coming up this hill. Went all the way up the hill. But the evening was beautiful. The people was nice. Were nice and able to talk to him about the Lord. I was just feeling great. Somehow through feeling good, we can do more. And God is able to give us the adrenaline, and He gives the grace adrenaline, hallelujah. God's power. And sometimes we're running on empty. Here's God's grace power, grace policy to us. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And so God is saying, you know what, in all things and at all times and all your needs, can't we look to him? Can't we thank him? See what God is doing in our lives? That's what verse 11 is all about. You look at all this bounty from God and you say, thanksgiving to God. Thank you, Lord. There's never a situation God assures us of that, you know, we don't have the emotional or the spiritual strength to face it. Sometimes physically it's not there, but we have the resources to match it. The word here is abound. It's the word, you know, used with Jesus with the 5,000, feeding the 5,000, in which they filled all those baskets afterwards. Just abounds. Just so much there. More than enough. And so it looks like at times we have nowhere near enough to face life. But Jesus turns it into more than enough, releasing that grace kind of adrenaline, grace adrenaline, into your life. God wants to be thanked. And so here in Romans, you know, Romans chapter 1 that we're talking about, he indicts the whole human race. Why? Because of the thanklessness of their hearts. They're not thankful to acknowledge him. He's the source of everything. They don't even say God created this. We see this principle over and over. Colossians chapter 3, 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. What's the outflow of that? Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So that's the expression there. And he says in verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. There's a teenage girl that had a certain attitude about her father. You know, we'd do well to have this attitude too. Should never amaze us, you know, that we're called to look to the Father in heaven, the sovereign of the universe, and we're invited to call him our Father. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Galatians 4, 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So from our hearts, the Spirit leads us to say, Abba, which is an affectionate, childlike name for our Heavenly Father. It means Daddy. Abba, Father. Daddy, Father. So when I was young, I sat by this girl who had a good relationship with her father. He was a fairly handsome man. He was a preacher, pretty good preacher. We learned a lot from him. He taught well. One thing he knew is nobody loved his preaching like his daughter. Nobody appreciated this man more than his daughter, except maybe his wife, you know, his family, but she was in, and he was good. As I watched, you know, it was really her that I admired, because as she looked at him in her eyes, man, this is her daddy. And so everyone was, well, she's nudging me, and isn't that good? She loved her daddy. Nobody could do it better. He's the best. She loved him. So how often do we stop and say, you know what? Abba, Father. Ha, that's my Father. God wants us to thank him, to love and admire him. That's how affection is. Paul says in Galatians, Abba, Father, God, you're my daddy. That's how I love you. And so you and I look, and we can start out our day just to consciously think, you know, I'm going to thank God. I'm going to make notes of, you know, just mental notes, and compliment God throughout the day for the things that he does. And so we can say, God, you sent someone to encourage me, Father. Ah, that was just such a good blessing. That's my Father. Lord, I see the clouds. You're an incredible artist. You paint these scenes, Father. Lord, you kept this car running. Yeah, thanks, Father. Thanks for this idea, Lord. I could never have thought of that. I know it came from you. Thanks, Lord, for that extra money. Yeah, I was at the end. Thank you, Father. Or Lord, thanks for this verse. Last night it was a song. Somebody said, that song, that came at just the right time, just when I needed it. Say, Lord, that came just when I needed it. It's because of you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That's what God loves to hear. And so we see our loving Father showing his love to us in dozens of ways. As we see his fingerprints on life. We see his grace in action, even in the experiences, even in the hard experiences of life. We just looked at a picture of our son's grave. We had no idea. We just took a picture. But then to look at the picture later, here's the whole cemetery, but there's a glow over his grave that you don't see in pictures. That was for us. Thank you, Father. What can we do? Well, it's kind of like taking a camera with the video mode, and you're going, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this, and I'm going to enjoy this. I want to record this. That's what we do with the acts of God. We bring it to our attention. We decide, you know, I'm really going to focus on this. I'm going to, like, put the camera right on. I'm really going to focus on this, and then I want to recall it later. I want to see later the things of God. I want to say thank you, Father. And so like this teenage girl, we become a father watcher. This young lady, she watched him. We begin to experience in a, you know, new and brighter way, you know, just the peace of God on our lives, because God is involved. He's intimate with me. So whatever, you know, whenever I was watching, she had that extra smile. It's just to say, just look at my dad. Complimenting her father, his heart was so warmed. Complimenting our Father in heaven. You got to know, it's over and over, it's over and over in Scripture. God says thanking him. That's what we want to do. I think that's how our Heavenly Father feels. We're watching and we notice what he's doing in our lives so many times. We just echo in admiration, intimate way, dear Father, Daddy, that was a good job. I'm so proud of you. And God is worthy to be thanked. He's one of the reasons he saved you. You understand? He wants you to join into that great hallelujah choir in heaven. And so often and forever, you will join in singing and thanking him. That's one reason when you give to God, you give to God, you give to God. He's so eager to give back to you. He wants to hear you say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And forever. And amen. We will. Together in glory. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Lord, should we begin to list the things to be thankful for? Still be here next Sunday. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you. Abba, Father. Pray in Jesus' name.